It's Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another very beautiful Tuesday. It is the last day of the month in July, which means I will be very honest. Sometimes when it's my birthday month in August, and yes, because I'm a Leo, I don't know if all Leos do this, but I've been told quite a few do. I like to talk about my birthday a lot. But I feel like this year may be the last time, because every time it is getting close to my birthday, I feel, which is on the 16th, by the way, I feel like I'm about to hit a little midlife mentality, where I don't know about you or how you handle birthdays, but I write down all my goals, everything I've accomplished, everything I need to accomplish, and what I did right, what I did wrong. It's just a re-evaluation of my career, of my life, of everything. And but now I feel like this may be the last year that I'm going to tell people my age. And Bobby's just giving me. Oh my God.
Who cares?
Well, I know.
Unless you're trying to get into a bar, which, let's be honest, you passed that age. Nobody else cares. You know, if you're good looking at 42, nobody's going to ask. Nobody's going to card you on the way in, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that is true. But no, it's just, you know, for myself, I'm like, wow, I'm already 27.
Oh, God,
dang.
I'm ancient.
Oh, I'm
oh,
over the hill.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, where's my Social Security? Where's my walker? Oh, my God. Freaking millennials. These kids crack me up.
What?
Is it just me, or is you guys just lap your asses off at everyone under the age of 30 on a regular basis? I just...
Wait, what's so funny?
Other than our previous discussion.
Which no one here is about to know.
We're not going to get into that one. But yeah, you're sitting there, I don't want anybody to know. Honey, you're 4 years from getting kicked off the MTV boat. Don't worry about it. You got a long way to go.
Remember when MTV played music?
Yeah, I was around.
Me too. I was like five.
Yeah, right. You were five. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I remember sitting around getting baked to the bejesus, skipping school, hanging out over people's houses, watching MTV 24 hours a day. It's like, does this kid live here? Is he paying rent?
True.
Could you get him to unglue himself from the couch for 4 minutes? Yeah.
Did you ever have to couch surf or a couch hop?
I spent half my life doing that.
Oh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good memories, huh?
Not really.
Really?
I had nowhere else to go. Yeah, they wouldn't call that good memories.
No, well, I mean, if they're with good friends, sometimes it's like, oh, remember in 1982?
Spoken like a woman who's never been homeless. Okay, we'll just leave that at
that. Oh, hey, if you want to talk about that, did I tell you when I slept in my car and I was so afraid that the cops would pound on my window and give me a ticket or think that I'm dead or whatnot? You know, you've heard those stories that they're like, oh, the person... They're in their car motionless, right?
Well, I haven't heard your homeless story. Let's hear this one. How long did it last for?
Well, not very long, I will admit.
I would think not.
Yeah, but, you know,
You're 20-something Asian girl sleeping in a car. Yeah, we got a place for you to stay. Don't worry about it. No problem.
Well, I... How long were you homeless?
Oh, Christ. The first time, like, about 6 months. The second time, about a month and a half.
Did 6 months feel like 3 years?
You know, at first it sucked. It was brutal. It was in the middle of winter in Boston. I actually had to literally make an igloo in the middle of the common so I could have a place to crash, and that lasted about 3 or 4 days. I ended up in a shelter after a little while, and long story short, I ended up dating the daughter of the minister who ran the shelter, so that kind of made my time very limited. But at that point, we had scraped up enough money to get a place, so we were good to go.
Wait, is that why you dated her?
It just kind of accidentally happened. I'm a homeless guy, but I was like the only one that was under the age of 50, apparently. She was the one that worked there, and I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning doing blow at that point, and we'd just hang out and talk and yabba dabba do, and then one day, next thing,
Bobby, you know what? The more I talk to you, even though I'm very rated G or PG, right?
Wow.
I'm very, I grew up very sheltered. Never went out, literally never even hung out with friends on a Friday night to watch a movie. Like I never ever did that in my entire life. So, you know, super shelter, cookie cutter, you know, I'm square, whatever, right?
But you ain't so square, but go ahead.
The more I get to know you, I'm like, I don't know. This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing for me.
Uh-huh.
But I think you're one of the coolest people I've ever met.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. No, seriously,
that.
You're just like, hey, this is me, you know, and this is what I've done in my life. And you I know, mean, your life has been very eventful.
Yes, it's been eventful. That's why I'm very quiet and boring now.
I wouldn't say so. You have a lot of fun.
Comparatively speaking.
Oh, yeah. True. Well, you talk about all your stories.
Yeah.
And you have a lot to tell.
The fact that I'm still here alive. I mean, there's a lot of people in Boston going, really? Him? Yeah, I was the lead candidate in everybody's Deadpool in the late 80s. I mean, I thought I was going to overdose sure as hell. I didn't. So bleep you. There we go.
Were you ever hospitalized?
For what?
Overdose.
Yeah, more than once.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
I you know, it was weird. I went through this phase where I was taking a lot of downers back around like 1980, 81. And the weirdest thing was,
how old were you?
Like 17, 18 at that point.
Oh, okay.
And I, you know, between Valium and Quaaludes and stuff like that. The funny thing is I would always forget how many I took. And I would just keep popping them until they kicked in. And then
weren't
they
expensive?
No. Not at all. No. Well, back then they weren't. No. I mean, as a matter of fact, just if you want to get into the story, I was working in this warehouse where this guy that drove a truck back and forth from Canada would come down and he'd bring me 100 Valium for like $50. And then I just walk around town all weekend. Everybody I encountered got two in the mouth. Everybody got two pills. And you want to hang out with me? Here, open up. There you go. You know?
I don't want to know how that makes you feel.
Man, I loved Valiums, but I mean, you can only do that for so long, and you definitely can't drink with them. They will kill you. Whatever.
Is that a pain pill, or what is that?
It's mostly a downer. It's not necessarily for
What's
pain.
A downer?
It's something that brings you down, a barbiturate, something like Valium or Quaalude. Or
I have no idea what that is.
Google them.
Something that makes you feel sad?
No. Just something that brings you down. Whereas something like speed or cocaine would bring you up. This
but
would be
why
a barbiturate.
Would you want something to bring you down?
Because you've been doing blow for 4 days. You probably want something that's going to help you get to sleep at one
point. Oh, my gosh, my ears. I need to clean them now.
God.
No,
how did you live such a virgin lifestyle? I don't understand.
I swear. Like.
I mean, I don't consider myself to be this ridiculous degenerate or anything, but people look at me and go, what? And this is, dude, I went to a school with a couple thousand kids, and we were all like this. I don't see where this is such a big deal.
Really?
Totally.
No.
Yeah,
I told you, I lived under a rock. I was probably Patrick Starr growing up.
Who?
Patrick Starr in SpongeBob, where he literally lives under a rock.
That could have been Sailor Moon for all I know.
So it's this starfish, this cartoon starfish. He lives under a freaking rock.
Okay.
And that's probably how I live my life, under a rock. All I did was eat, sleep, and swim. I told you, I may not look innocent, quote unquote. But I am pretty innocent. A lot of people that get to know me are like, wow.
See, these are my favorite type of women. The sweet, innocent ones. Because I'll tell you something right now. Every single sweet, innocent girl in the world, somewhere in her past or in her future, there is a bad boy. Just one.
A bad boy or a bad girl in me?
No, it depends upon what you're into. I mean, you know?
Oh, like a bad...
I'm assuming you're into guys. I mean, if you're not,
yeah.
I'll go get the camera.
I thought you meant... Okay, now this conversation. Sorry.
No.
No, we'll talk about sports. But
like I said, every good girl gets a bad boy at least once.
Oh, gets a bad boy. Oh, okay. No comment.
True or false?
That is true.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I've been that person for several. And that's cool. I mean, they all go off and have wonderful memories, and they don't get pregnant, and I just go live my life. It's
you said
the way it was meant to be.
You had several. Okay.
You don't want to know.
If you knew
how many, you would wash your hands every time you came in here.
Ew, should I leave the room?
Honey, I grew up in the 70s. I grew up like pre-AIDS. We did everything with everybody. It was awesome.
In those hippie vans.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we're only 15, 16. We're mostly in the woods and such things.
You know
but...
the Scooby-Doo, the mystery mobile?
Yes, I know what you mean.
So it's like that?
No, there were no vans. I mean, like I said, we were out in the woods. And somebody gets a keg and we... 20 kids go off into the woods.
You have lived quite the life.
I don't think it's any more extraordinary than anybody else. I really don't. I mean, I just partied a lot longer than most people. But by the time I hit age 29, I straightened out and started having an actual job. And here we are.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud that...
My parents would be, too, if they were alive.
Well, I'm sure they're very proud of you. And
well, the old man would probably still tell me I'm a bleeping idiot no matter what.
Well, hey, that's
from the grave you would reach out and go, yeah, in Portuguese, of course, so I couldn't understand them.
Portuguese, yeah. Well, hey, that's probably showing love as well.
This is cool. I actually get paid to sit here and have psychotherapy with this wonderful woman. This is freaking
psychotherapy.
This is awesome.
No,
Tell me about my childhood. Go ahead.
I don't even know how we got into this conversation.
It's probably better than half the crap we're going to talk about today anyway. Who cares?
Yeah, well, I was talking about the good things that LeBron is doing and UFC.
Hey, not bad. 10 minutes and 59 seconds before you mentioned LeBron. That's got to be a record for you. Well, of course, it's the off season. Jesus bleeping Christ, I don't know.
Tell me about LeBron.
I need some LeBron music here.
Because I gave you a compliment and I said you're one of the coolest people that I've met.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. But anyway, back to your point.
That's how you got to saying, like, the quote-unquote degenerate that you are. And yeah. Well, anyway.
I have no idea where the bleep are going with this, so go ahead.
No, I was wondering how we even got into this topic.
Who knows? My mind rambles.
So. Okay. So anyway, well, I'm good. I'm glad you're good now. So last week was USA basketball. And so I have media scrums with the head coach, Greg Popovich, and then John Wall and Kevin Durant. And those are on the website. And then yesterday, the Golden Knights, I will tell you the announcement that they made. And I do have the media scrums with team president Kerry Buebels and D Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens, who's been on the show before.
And these are all on the website on lbsportsnetwork.com, right?
Correct.
We should probably play a couple of those.
Yeah. And then also, I do have an interview with Chuck Liddell, who talks about his fight with Tito that should be coming up later this year. Like I said, it's practically August.
There's a couple seniors.
Almost
citizens.
My birthday. Oh, that's how we got into it because it's almost.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Leos. Jesus, Leos.
Right.
Like, I should have known a mile away how I didn't pick that one up. Jeez.
Right. Hey, I will tell you every day for the next 16 days. So you're lucky I'm going out of town.
You ain't nothing new. Believe me, you're not the only Leo I've gone through.
But is this not what I said earlier on in the show? Leos, for some reason, we just like talking about our birthdays. Or maybe ourselves.
As a matter of fact, I know one of the former sales ladies that worked here for the longest time. She is a Leo, and she declared August to be her birthday month. She would walk around here in a tiara all day, every day. I think she wore it outside. I'm not quite sure, but it was her birthday month, damn it. And she wore her tiara every single year. And God bless her. She's still around. So
good. Well, I'm not really into tiaras.
That was her thing. I mean, you do it your way. She does it her way. You know,
I just eat a lot of cake. So my favorite.
Work off those calories. Run on the beach.
Yes.
Here you're going to California in a couple of days. So,
I am.
You do a lot of running on beach and such.
So there's a lot to talk about. For example, UFC 227 going down this weekend. And once again, I will be back in LA to cover it. It is happening at the Staples Center. The anticipated rematch between former UFC bantamweight champion Cody Garbrandt and current champion and their former teammates and friends, TJ Dillashaw. So I will be heading to LA and getting interviews and doing all the coverage. And right now there's so many rumors circulating on when Conor McGregor will be returning to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. And they're saying that, will it be here in October in Las Vegas?
His name's really Khabib?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Khabib.
Yeah, naturally there had to be a silent K in there somewhere.
Okay,
carry
yeah,
on, don't mind me. Every time I hear a beep, I think of something that has nothing to do with MMA. Go ahead, carry on.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, so I'll be there. Maybe they'll make that announcement this week. I'm not sure, but all we know is McGregor is rumored to probably be returning this week, or not this week, this year. And then this past weekend, the UFC fights, I will be talking about that. MGM and the NBA, what partnership they have going on. And then LeBron James, of course, what he's done. And, of course, the Golden Knights, what they were able... the partnership that the Golden Knights and the D Las Vegas and the announcement that they made yesterday as well. So I will be talking about all that and more. Once we get back from the break, you can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports, and you're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
So a few weeks ago during the International Fight Week and when they did the Hall of Fame inductions, I got a chance to talk to Chuck Liddell, MMA legend, of course, former UFC champion. And he was able to tell me about his upcoming fight with Tito Ortiz, which I got a great interview with Tito as well. But unfortunately, and sorry, Tito, I should have probably reminded him not to cuss before the interview. But he let so many bombs drop that you can find that, though, on the website. And there is a warning below that says not safe for work.
Yeah, you would think at this point, Tito, you know, come on, it's a radio interview. You would think by now you would have figured out maybe not 74 F-bombs, but...
Yeah, well, 73, but close enough.
But I mean, I would have played the interview, but I can't reset the damn thing quick enough. He just keeps going, so can't do it.
Or you would have to hold it for 20 seconds straight.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to take it out back and edit it and take all the beeps out, in which case the whole thing would be approximately 14 seconds, so...
Oh, yeah.
Hi, well, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Beep, that is beep, not beep, untrue. Beep, beep. So
it's like a South Park thing if you try to edit it.
Yeah, and so these two have fought before. Chuck's won. But their third fight is supposed to be under Golden Boy MMA. So Oscar De La Hoya, he's branching out into MMA. And I got a chance to talk to Chuck Liddell about it. So here's my interview with Chuck. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here at the UFC Hall of Fame on the red carpet, being joined by the legend Chuck Liddell. First off, though, looking at the class this year being inducted, what are your thoughts?
You know, I haven't seen actually who's being inducted this time, so it's going to be all a surprise to me.
Oh, really? Do you want to know or do you want to be surprised? Like, for example, Matt Serra, Ronda Rousey being the first woman to be inducted. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's awesome for her. She did a lot for women's MMA. You know, she brought it to the forefront, and her contribution will always be huge in the sport.
Well, speaking of being big in the sport, the other day, big fight announced. You and Tito, the third time you guys will be fighting. First off, is there a set date? Because when I asked him, he said sometime in the fall. Have you guys come to an agreement?
There's no date yet. We finally came to an agreement that we're going to fight. And so now they're looking for a venue and the date.
When I spoke to him the other day, he said that he's taking this very personal. Are you taking it that personally as well, or do you kind of see it as, you know what, I'm just approaching it as another fight and whatnot?
Oh, I don't like him. I never have. And he just continues to prove why I don't like him all the time. So, I'm not an emotional fighter. He is. But... You know, I think it clouds your judgment when you're fighting. So I'm not an emotional fighter, but it helps me get prepared. I will be completely prepared for this fight. I'll be ready to go, and you'll get the best Chuck Liddell.
And how long have you been training for?
Well, we haven't started training camp yet. But, I mean, I've been training, getting ready for about a year now. Okay. So I started ramping up when he started seeing himself a while back, and then I just started training again, getting in shape and kind of seeing how I felt.
How long have you had that itch to want to get back in there?
You know, I've always missed it. I love fighting. It's my favorite thing in the world, and I miss everything about the fight game. So I always wanted to go back, but I needed a spark, and him he finally, no surprise, he got me to come out.
Now, who will be helping you prepare for this fight? Do you have anyone in mind that you want to bring in, and also coaches and team?
Well, of course, Hackerman is always my coach. And then I got a few other guys. I mean, a few other guys I'm working with now. And I haven't put together a team yet for camp yet, but we'll get it together soon.
And what are your thoughts on Golden Boy MMA? And I know you guys will be on the inaugural card. So what do you think of that and Oscar De La Hoya?
Oh, I think it's great. It's very exciting for me to be involved in this, and I'm looking for great things.
Yeah. And lastly, watching Tito's last fight, what are your thoughts on that?
I wasn't impressed. He hasn't impressed me in a long time fighting. So, and I just saw him doing some bag work the other day, or mitt work the other day, and that was terrible. So, if that's what he's got for me, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
So that was my interview with Chuck Liddell. I will be trying my best to get a follow-up, whether it is maybe a date that is announced, or if I happen to see Tito this week, I will try my best to get something. But yesterday, the Golden Knights, they announced the Lil Knights program. I feel like that's a bit of a tongue twister. Lil Knights?
Just say little. Everybody little. Knows what you mean.
Okay. No, because when they
spelled it in the press release. Just say a little. It's easier that way.
Yeah, little. So the little.
No, little sounds like someone's grandmother or something.
Yeah, like Phil and Lil from Rugrats.
There's Agnes and Lil from across the street. No. Just don't.
Is anyone's name Lil?
Is anyone's named Agnes? Carry on.
Oh, my God. Okay. So they announced that. Yesterday, which, by the way, I walked on ice for the first time. And I did not fall.
Well, you didn't come in here in crutches, so it couldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of myself for that little pat on my back. But so the D Las Vegas will be sponsoring and presenting the Little Knights program, which is a cross-ice development program that focuses on individual skills and team elements of hockey. Basically, it serves as a final step in the youth hockey development pyramid before joining a team. So after they complete learn to skate and learn to play, they will be in that Little Knights program. And then it will be offered at all three ice rinks in the city, which includes, of course, City National Arena, Las Vegas Ice Center, and Sobey Ice Arena. So after the president of Vegas Golden Knights, Kerry Buebels, spoke about it, so here is his media scrum.
This, but I guess how sweet is this? You guys, nice little partnership with the D Las Vegas again, doing something special for the kids?
Yeah, community is a contact sport, just like hockey, and we're excited because in our partnership with the D, they're going to provide significant funding to continue the development of youth hockey here in the Las Vegas Valley. We're very excited that it's going to benefit all three rinks. It's not just City National Arena. It's really all three rinks. And it's really the third phase of the development program. So phase one is learn to skate. Phase two is learn to play. And this is really phase three. So this is the Little Knights program presented by the D, and we're going to get kids ready. And then they can go into the travel programs and the more structured programs once they complete the Little Knights program.
I heard you guys talk about the fact that there was a kid that came from somewhere that ended up playing in the NHL. I guess the question I was... I'm sorry.
Oh, Gage Quinney.
Gage Quinney's from Las Vegas. Yeah. We signed him to a contract. And then the other story that we told was a year ago, the number one pick in the NHL came out of Phoenix.
That's
through a program very similar to this. So Austin Matthews is one of the top players in our game, one of the top players in the world. Again, he didn't come from Toronto or Russia or Sweden. He came from Phoenix through a program just like this. And we hope that over the next 10 years or so that we at some point develop the number one player in the NHL right out of Las Vegas. Just like they've done a great job with baseball and football, some of the best players in the world are from Las Vegas. We want to do the same with hockey.
And what I was going, I'm sorry, one last one, I'm sorry. What I was going to say is the fact that Brian Carpenter came out of Florida. Similar place like that, that you wouldn't expect a hockey player to come
out.
Yeah,
no, that's another great example. So same type thing.
Okay. That's
Kerry, what you mentioned, the five-year, it's funded now for 5 years. What does that do? I mean, like if the people are home saying, oh, that's cool, how do I get involved? What do I need to do? How much is it going to cost?
Yeah, that's a great point. So how do I get involved? Again, first of all, you have to complete one of the other programs first. So you have to go through the Learn to Skate program at any of the three rinks. You have to go through the Learn to Play program at any of the three rinks. And then you join the Little Knights program. And so you can go on our website, or you can go on the Sobey Ice Center website, or the Las Vegas Ice Center website, and you can see information, see the costs associated with the program. Again, it's been subsidized through the D, and it's just a terrific little program where it gets young players the opportunity to really take that next step in their development and get ready for more structured hockey.
You guys have been around, and you've seen, like, the street hockey in the gyms with Derek England and so forth. How have you seen it grow just over the course of a year?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, and it just continues every single day. More kids get introduced to the game, and we couldn't be more proud to be a part of that process of introducing, and it's a lot of fun. You see kids that never had any interest and or exposure, and here they are. Now they're out on skates, and they're having a great time, and their smiles are what really makes it so special.
I guess another thing that's cool, my last question is, Bill Fuller, that was one of his prime concerns or initiatives that he wanted to make sure youth hockey grew.
Yeah, right out of the gate. That was one of the top priorities, and it's something we've been focused on every single day. And again, every day we take one more step, get one more kid introduced, and it's just, you know, it's awesome to see.
So when I get back from the break, and by the way, you can check out Derek Stevens' scrum up on lvsportsnetwork.com. When I get back from the break, I will be talking some basketball, LeBron James, and actually playing the media scrum with the new head coach for USA Basketball, Greg Popovich. And then, of course, the fight weekend this past weekend and the fight weekend coming up. So stay tuned. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports, and you're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's up, man? Me and Bobby today, we're just living it, right? During commercial breaks, but we will not mention anything.
Is that what the kids say? Living it?
The millennials, right? Oh my gosh.
Young
you crack me up
and
today.
Such.
What?
Young whippersnappers and such.
What's a whippersnapper? Is
I
that
don't
a
know.
Fish?
I don't know. I get my vocabulary from Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Don't ask me. I have no idea.
Have you seen that show, Rick and Morty?
No.
Oh, it looks like it'd be your type of humor.
The animation sucks.
Oh, so you have seen it?
In like for 4 seconds flipping channels, but I mean,
oh, okay.
it's like Bob's Burger. I know that's like really popular lately. I can't stand it. The animation is weak and the characters are kind of whiny.
Have you seen Archer?
Yeah.
What do you think of that humor?
Eh.
I love that show.
Yeah, I'm much more the South Park, Robot Chicken, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Metalocalypse is one of my favorites.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a big fan of Meatwad.
Okay. Well,
nobody knows what the hell we're talking. Nobody over the age of 12 knows what we're talking about.
The age of 12. Are those newer shows?
I don't think they put out a new one in a couple of years.
Oh.
You know what's really good that's new now is Mr. Pickles, the satanic dog.
I think you mentioned
notice
that
how I do
before.
The Dio thing when I say satanic.
You do.
I can't help that.
This is part
it's
of Bobby.
So bleeping
don't
weird,
worry.
Man.
Bobby is a nice person despite how he sounds like to you.
It's a bleeping lie.
He has a good heart. He's not heartless despite what he says.
I never said it was heartless. I just hate people.
But he's
love
nice.
My dog.
He's friendly. Just proceed with caution.
Yeah, Bobby the Friendly Psychopath. It is a cartoon for you.
Okay. Well, someone who's doing good
Let's
for
see,
the world.
Let's see this transition. Go ahead.
Right? So the opposite of that, on a positive note, please don't play the LeBron music again. I feel
well, if
like
you're
going to
talk about
like
if you're going to talk about the king, the royal highness, you know, I mean, you got to break out the BBC pomp and circumstance.
Okay, so yesterday LeBron opened his I Promise School. Yes, he did. And it says, how does the I Promise School differ from any other school? Well, it says, quote, the school will operate with a longer than normal school year with a focus on accelerated learning to bring kids up to speed who otherwise may be lagging. In addition, there's a focus on taking factors outside of the classroom that could cause children to struggle. Services are available to help students deal from stress related to parents who are struggling to make ends meet. And in addition to that, there are activities to prevent the kids from having too much idle time and potentially getting into trouble. So it provides services to families, which include job placement assistance for parents and on-site food bank that will allow parents to pick up foods they can prepare at home. And LeBron James often credits his bicycle as a huge factor in his childhood that gave him an escape from dangerous parts of his neighborhood and the freedom to explore. So therefore, every student will receive a bicycle when they arrive. And I see Bobby needing a Kleenex right now, trying to wipe away some tears.
That's not tears. I've had a cold for about a week, thanks.
Did that not move you?
I mean, look, first of all, I know it's a tax write-off for the guy. God bless him. If he wants to do something good for another person, I'm not going to criticize him for doing it. Unfortunately, I've heard this song before. Andre Agassi, 20 years ago. When it all started out, it was fantastic. And then things slowly started to decline. So, I mean, it's nice he can wheel out this whole Santa's gift bag of stuff he wants to do and stuff, and that's wonderful. But when he gets back in the limo and drives away, let's see how much the implementation actually happens in about 6 months to a year. There's nothing against him. I mean, he's making an effort. I just don't think he's going to be the kind of guy that drops in three times a week going, everything cool. Everybody got everything they need.
True, but maybe he has a good group of people. Like, he has a lot of friends still in Ohio that could probably check in for him. You know, his childhood.
Is this in Ohio or is it in
Ohio.
It is in Ohio. Okay,
yeah.
Good. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to criticize the guy if he wants to do something decent. But I just want to make sure the implementation is going to be everything he expects it to be. I've seen a lot of cases with these kind of things. You know, celebrities come out and they throw their first shovel of dirt and they're all thumbs up and so on. And then you come back 4 months later and it's still a POS. So.
Yeah, well, hey, this could be different. You know, yeah. And I mean, it's in Akron.
The monkeys might fly out of my butt, but yeah, okay. Things could be different.
Yeah,
I know. I know it's LeBron and good for him. Like I said, if he's doing something decent for people with all that money he has, good for him. And that's all.
Well, speaking of different, think about the unique first. And before I get into the Greg Popovich media scrum. So it was reported today, ESPN said, the NBA, they signed a deal with MGM where the NBA becomes the first major U.S. sports league to sign an official betting sponsor. So at Commissioner Adam Silver, he announced that the league struck, you know, the deal that will give the gaming company rights to use league highlights, names, logo, and its direct data feed, as well as exclusively market itself as the official gaming partner of the NBA and the WNBA. And it'll be, the deal is for 3 years and worth at least $25 million. How do you think this will go?
I couldn't care less. Okay.
Why did
you want to know how I think it goes? I think that it's going to get held up in court for a little while because the other gaming companies are going to want a slice of that pie.
That's a good...
If you want to be the official sponsor, that's fine, great. I mean, that happens all the time. You know, I think Jack Daniels is the official bourbon of the Red Sox or some crap. I have no idea. But the thing is, if you're going to give the MGM exclusive rights to video and all this other stuff with the players and stuff, then you're going to have the other sportsbook guys, the Sam Boyds, the Caesars Palace, those kind of guys. They're going to tie this up in court for a little bit unless everybody gets a slice of the pie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. That's a good point that you bring up.
Yeah, because I guess you can't just give, like, as a league. That's like saying Major League Baseball, knowing the gambling is going to be allowed and encouraged, their exclusive sponsor is now going to be Caesar's Palace. you know, MGM's going to get pissed. The board gaming, the frittatas, those people, they're all going to get, they're going to want a slice of that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Time will tell, just like LeBron's school, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I said, you know, good for him. We'll see what happens. How's that Raiders stadium looking? Building every day.
Right?
Building every day, kids.
Yes. Let's build, baby. But last week, USA Basketball was here. So their new coach, Greg Popovich, here is a media scrum with him.
Understand what a privilege is to, you know, play for your country, play for USA Basketball. By the effort they gave today, you can see that they all definitely wanted to be part of it.
Two big tournaments coming up. Of course, Tokyo 2020. Who do you think is going to be your biggest rival?
We're not concerned with Tokyo 2020. We're focused on the World Cup in China in 2019. And before we do that, we've got to qualify. And that's where Jeff Van Gundy is doing a great job putting teams together so that we can qualify. Until then, we're not in the World Cup. So that's the first thing. And then that's our concentration, not the World Cup.
How's it from, like, your take on the TV
I have no idea. We've been here today. I don't know how different it's going to be. It's going to be me. We've got to pick a coaching staff and decide how we want to play. A lot of that depends on what players are going to be there, which players are going to play. So you can't get the cart before the horse.
Do you enjoy the chance to talk and interact with guys you haven't coached directly before?
Well, of course. You do that at the All-Star game, everybody enjoys it, but this is higher above the NBA. This is a more lofty goal. This is creating a new team, a new country, so to speak. These guys have to form that brotherhood the way the teams that they compete against now, because those guys have played together for a long time. We've got to try to mirror that sort of camaraderie and love and responsibility for each other. So they've done a darn good job of that for 12 years, so we need to keep it going.
How much do you lean on
them? Prepared you for that role?
I talk to him often. He's been great. And I would be remiss if I didn't plug him to death. Millions of questions to try to learn from him.
Is forming that camaraderie easier with the guys from 2016 and what they accomplished?
I don't understand your question.
A couple of key players are not here. LeBron, Steph, is that a concern for you?
No, not at all. People have lives. So, you know, we have a good number of people here. The people who were invited and are here have reasons, you know, whether it's injury or personal things going on in their lives, and we understand that.
How's Tobias Harris?
How is he?
Tobias.
Well, he's probably just as good a player now as he was at the start of practice.
What do you think about his game?
So, well, first off, congratulations to former UFC heavyweight champion. I was just looking on Instagram. Stipe Miocic, his wife, gave birth to their beautiful baby girl, I think about a week ago, or it feels that way. No, so I was just looking at it on my Instagram story, and babies are so cute. They really are. Not saying I want one, but...
Yes, they are cute.
And they're just, like, so
the
adorable.
Cutest ones are the ones I don't have to take care of.
Right? Like, being an aunt's the best thing in the world.
Yes, because when they get stinky, you give them back.
Right, or when they... Don't stop
or
crying.
Or with whatever the myriad of things kids come out with, but yeah.
Yeah, like when they start crying hysterically, and then I'm like, sorry, gotta go. Past my curfew.
Is this yours? Here, take it. There you go.
Yeah, and I'm like, past my curfew. They're like, wait, but it's 6 o'clock. Yeah, I sleep at 6:30 now.
My curfew starts on London time. Bye.
Right. Here. Bobby, we actually got along today.
We usually get along.
Yeah, but like today, I enjoyed our stories. It felt kind of like I was sitting around a campfire. You know those times where, okay, in the winter. So one of my roommates, which I don't live with roommates anymore, but one thing that was kind of cool when I lived with these specific roommates were that they kind of had a campfire in the backyard. So we would roast marshmallows, you know, like chill out for a little bit and just tell stories. And it was so like just awesome. And there was like a hot tub in the backyard. It was like a cool backyard. There was a hammock.
Do I got to change the music to like porn music now or?
Oh no, please don't. Okay. But no, so our conversation earlier kind of reminded me a bit of that. Like we were just literally sitting around a campfire, just chilling and talking, and it was nice. Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed.
Thank you. But this past weekend was a big, so back-to-back big fight weekends. And I considered this past weekend in Canada, UFC on Fox 30, Alvarez versus Poirier. I considered that a pretty stacked card. I mean, they had Alex Hernandez, the newcomer. He beat Olivier. And then former champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk defeats Tisha Torres by unanimous decision. But in the co-main event, Jose Aldo, the former long-reigning featherweight champion, though many people, and I think so many people probably still think of the days or reflect back on the days his when Conor knocked him out in 13 or 14 seconds, the Jose Aldo, you know, remember that buildup and that kind of really skyrocketed McGregor into superstardom. And then, of course, the Diaz fights and then the Mayweather into super, super, super stardom. But, yeah, so Jose Aldo, ever since that fight, I mean, he, you know, did bounce back after McGregor. And he did beat Frankie Edgar at UFC 200, had a pretty decisive victory over former two-division champion Frankie Edgar. Former lightweight champion Frankie Edgar, but now competes in featherweight division. And then back-to-back TKO losses from Max Holloway in the third round. So then, you know, he wins the interim title, then loses, you know, to Max Holloway, the current champion, then loses to Max again in the rematch. So, I mean, I could see where his ego could suffer a bit, where he's dominated for a good, basically, like, 10 years straight, you know. And so this weekend and after, me, I think I could see like tears starting to come out of his eyes where he stops Jeremy Stephens, who's a very tough guy. Like Jeremy Stephens, I mean, and some people may question the stoppage, but Jeremy Stephens was on a 3-fight win streak and he was stopping guys left and right, Josh Emmett, Duho Choi. And then Jose Aldo, at the very end of the first round, he has a mean body shot, and I believe it was a liver shot. And you can see Jeremy Stephens, like, literally his facial expression, like, just being in so much pain and kind of crumbling. And then, of course, he continues to, you know, just do damage, and Jeremy Stephens wasn't able to come back from it, even though, again, at the end, he kind of argued that, was it an early stoppage? I don't think so, and, I mean, I could tell that pain, and I could tell, I mean, when Jose Aldo got him on the ground and he kept punching him, it was, he was kind of waiting for it to be like, hey, you know, when can this stop? Like, I don't want to, you know, keep beating on him. And so I don't think it was a questionable stoppage, and I think it was a great win for Jose Aldo. I don't think it was a quote-unquote fluke victory, too, because I think some people may say, oh, was it a fluke? Oh, you know, just like whatnot. But no, I mean, it was definitely not a fluke, and he had great head movement when they were, you know, striking. And Jeremy threw some good punches, but wasn't able to connect. And I was pretty impressed with Jose Aldo. And I'm pretty happy for him because, again, he's kind of been through a lot since the McGregor, that infamous loss that despite what people may say, I think it will kind of stay as a significant part of his career for a very long time, even though it is obviously an unfortunate part. But so Dustin Poirier defeats Eddie Alvarez in the second round by TKO. And some people may say, well, the controversial 12-6 elbows that were happening. So I don't know. I mean, let me know your thoughts about that. And if you think that it was the right call or the wrong call, but I think it was the right call. And, you know, I think that Mark Goddard did a good job with stopping the fight standing them up, because they claim that, oh, did that help Dustin because Eddie had the advantage? But no, you know, I think he did the right thing. And Dustin Poirier, you know, he's a tough guy. I mean, he's beaten some really good guys, like the Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, Anthony Pettis, Jim Miller, Bobby Green, Yancy Medeiros. Like, just, yeah, he deserves a title shot. So, and he's been around for a while, but still 29 years old. So I'm excited to see kind of what's next for him. But of course, this weekend, UFC 227, with the main event being TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt, former Team Alpha Male teammates and friends turned rivals, bitter rivals at that. And so in their first fight, TJ stops Cody in the second round. And that was Cody's first loss in his professional career. And now TJ, I mean, let's see if he can successfully defend his belt. And then in the flyweight division, the number one pound-for-pound fighter, Demetrius Johnson, he's looking to defend his title once again against Henry Cejudo, but he did fight Henry Cejudo at UFC 197 in April of 2016, and he stops Henry in the first round. So we'll see, you know, how he does or how Henry does in this. I think it's an easy win for DJ. I just think technically he is so advanced, and not only that, but he is so smart in there. He has such high ring IQ that I think he wins easily. And then another good fight to look out for, Cub Swanson and Renato Moicano. They open up the main card. So that's going down this weekend, August 4th at the Staples Center. So I leave to LA tomorrow, and stay tuned for my interviews on there. It'll be on lvsportsnetwork.com, and you can always tweet me.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Quick breaking news in the world of baseball. Chris Sale, Boston Red Sox, 10-day DL, shoulder inflammation.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
It just came across the crawl, so I thought I should.
Yeah, well, thank you for the breaking news. Bobby with the news. You should be called, I don't know, breaking news Bobby.
No, just Bobby would be fine.
Okay.
It's my pleasure to sit across from you again for a whole hour, and I didn't have to pay for it. That's great.
Okay, well, you can always tweet me at Helen E Sports. I'll be in LA tomorrow night and doing interviews. So, and I'll talk to you next week when it gets closer to my birthday. Had to bring it up once again. So have a beautiful Tuesday.
祝你生日快乐, 祝你生日快乐.